You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. Changes were recently announced to the Fast Track Approvals Bill, most notably removing the controversial ministerial override that would allow ministers to go past expert advice. These changes follow public protests and submissions regarding the bill, one of this government's most discussed. I chatted to Katie Nimmin about changes to the bill and some of the criticisms that remain. We also spoke about the potential amendment of Section 58 of the Marine and Coastal Area Act. The amendment would require Māori to prove continuous uninterrupted occupation of a coastal area in order to make a claim to it. The Waitangi Tribunal recently filed an urgent claim to discuss the amendment, particularly criticised for its impact on coastal iwi with fewer land claims. In our weekly catch-up with the National Party, I spoke to MP Katie Nimmin about each of these issues, starting off with changes to the Fast Track Bill. So we're just going to start off today with the changes announced to the Fast Track Approvals Bill. Could you briefly explain what those changes are?
Yeah, well, look, we've been really lucky to have a huge interest in this bill, and of course it's helped us, fine-tune. And look, I'm a member of the Environment Select Committee, so I've been part of that process, and that is what the process is for. So, you know, hearing people's concerns or ideas or suggestions for what can change. So one of the key things that Cabinet's agreed to recommend changes is having projects referred to an expert panel by the minister, so basically flipping it around the other way and having the expert panel make the final decisions. And so, of course, that is the same as Labor's previous fast-track process, the COVID fast-track and the sort of more fine-tuned one after that. And then, of course, applicants will be required to have information provided by them on previous decisions. So whether there's been court decisions or approving authorities made decisions on their applications, they need to provide that. And then, of course, timeframes for comment. That was another one we heard a lot about, having the referral and panel stages being extended to get parties that are interested and affected and impacted to have more time to provide comments. So, you know, those are the things we heard about consistently, and those are really important things for us to address.
There's been a lot of positive feedback around those changes. However, there's still some concerns that remain around the bill prioritising development over environmental protections. How would the government respond to those concerns?
Yeah, well, look, I think I challenge that as a perception issue. I mean, none of these projects have, A, been announced, B, been addressed or reviewed by the expert panel, and C, been approved with conditions. So we don't yet know how that's going to look. And I challenge, anyone that wants to have any kind of project done in Australia, for example, where the environment that has been altered or mined or whatever practice that is underway, that things are restored or regenerated to a better level than they were found. And so, you know, there are many things that we can do. And this government is very committed to, you know, what we can do in conservation, renewable energy, to enhance the environment and not have it as a deteriorating factor. So, you know, I feel very strongly that any new road that we build will have a reduction on emissions. Any renewable energy infrastructure is going to make a huge impact to our environmental footprint. So, you know, there are going to be lots of positive stories out of this, and I think that, you know, I'm excited to prove that there is a huge number of projects, I'm sure, that will have great environmental impact and that it will all be considered with that lens.
There's also concerns. You mentioned the government hasn't yet released the full list of projects and doesn't plan to until after the select committee process is done. Why is that?
Well, look, we've been really clear from the start, and as a member of the Select Committee, I absolutely stand by this, that having the project as part of the Select Committee process is a distraction on having the legislation adequately reviewed, adequately submitted on and scrutinised and improved. And I absolutely feel that we had submissions that were talking about the hypothetical nature of specific projects, but it didn't have one contribution to what could be improved in the bill, and that was without even having those projects released. And so I think it's really important for us to focus on the legislation, focus on what we can do to improve it, which is absolutely what we do and have done. And if we had project by project, you know, people coming to talk about, you know, why this one shouldn't go ahead or that one shouldn't go ahead or should, we would be significantly distracted from the importance of dealing with the legislation, making sure it's robust and that it would be able to have the appropriate treatment for any project that were to be put forward, both now and in the future.
And then moving on, what is the government trying to do by amending Section 58 of the Marine and Coastal Area Act?
Yeah, well, look, for us, it's really been about making sure there's consistency and restoring what it was intended. You know, we obviously set a high test back in 2011, and, you know, it's important to us to make sure that that test is still there, and we just need to restore certainty and consistency, and that's what we meant to do in the first place, and unfortunately the Act has strayed away from that.
Mm, you mentioned that it was originally introduced under the 2011 National Government. Was it incorrectly introduced then?
No, absolutely not. The intention was correct, but unfortunately over successive years and in a changing government, there has been what I suppose I'd call mission creep. And so it's very important for us to go back and address that and tighten it up because, you know, as you probably well know, any time you introduce a bill or change law or amend an act, you know, the intention is there, but it doesn't necessarily always result in that. There are factors that impact the way that a bill can be implemented or addressed. And so, you know, iterations are a normal thing, and for us to have the opportunity to tighten this up and go back to what was intended, that's really important, and it's a necessary function of Parliament.
Mm. The amendment would also, or the current amendment, would require a claimant to have occupied the land consecutively since 1840. Does that seem at all unreasonable?
Well, look, you know, the most important thing to consider is that all New Zealanders have an interest in coastal waters of our country, and the Castlemere Marine title, it gives hold its valuable rights, and, you know, absolutely. Including it, the ability to refuse consents in the area. And so that's for all people of New Zealand, no matter who holds those titles. And so, you know, I think ultimately it's getting the right balance between legal recognition of Māori customary rights and also protecting the legitimate interests of all New Zealanders. And so, you know, I think that that's what this comes down to. You know, it's all about consistency for us. And, you know, there's obviously a very careful way for us to treat anything that has sort of an existing standing both before and after changes. And so, you know, those testings and timings will all come in due course, and I think that this is something that is very important for us to do.
Mm. There's been an urgent Waitangi Tribunal claim filed regarding this amendment, the seventh filed relating to policies under this government. Is this something that the government is at all concerned about, that their policies seem so unpopular among Māori?
Oh, well, I wouldn't draw those two conclusions. The Waitangi Tribunal having a look into this, I don't think is a proportionate recognition of whether it's popular or not with Māori. You know, this is actually protecting Māori rights where they have customary titles, and so that's a really important thing for us to get right for their interests as well. And so, look, I think that that will take its course, and I certainly can't comment on that process. And they have the ability and the right to go through that process, but regardless, this is an important thing for us to address. You know, the previous government, it wasn't a priority for them to make sure there was certainty around customary marine title, and it is for us. And, you know, I think ultimately we just want to make sure that, as I say, there's consistency and continuity for all involved.
And then lastly here, Treaty Negotiations Minister Paul Goldsmith says he doesn't want to relitigate foreshore and seabed arguments with this change. However, you know, those same arguments have seemed to have resurfaced, regardless of his opinion. Is there a danger in returning to such a controversial and divisive policy?
Well, look, we're not returning to that rhetoric. That's not coming from us. And there needs to be an ability to amend laws, regardless of their topic, for the purpose of maintaining their intended purpose, which is exactly what judges use as their sort of ruling or defining factor of any law is what was the intention, what was the purpose. So for us, it's about restoring certainty and consistency, and it hasn't been the case. And so actually a rule that's going to make it more complicated, that's going to encourage more red law. So if we tighten it up, there's less scope for argument or interpretation. So we think this is a really important way forward, and hopefully long term provides more certainty around that law than there has been.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking to me about changes to the Fast Track Approvals Bill and the Marine and Coastal Area Act.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.